Create Art Podcast. Commentary. Genius. Hello, friends. This is Timothy Keem O'Brien, your head instigator for Create Art Podcast, where I use my over 30 years of experience in the art and education world to help you tame that inner critic and create more than you consume. So this year, I have been doing this thing called Kickstart Creativity, and it's by Bonnie Smith Whitehouse, and the links will be in the show notes there for you, so make sure that you get on over to Create Art Podcast if you aren't there already. And it's 50 cards that help you spark inspiration. And there's three types of cards. There's red action cards, green perspective cards, and blue intention cards. And you can mix and match those if you want. Right now I'm working on the perspective cards. And you may be asking yourself, well, Tim, aren't you like, you know, the guy of creativity? And I am. But my wife got me these cards during the holidays in 2022. And I thought to myself, I was like, wait a minute, I'm the head instigator for Create Art Podcast. Why is she getting me these cards? I'm teaching people how to, you know, do this for themselves. But the beauty of it is that, you know, each and every one of us needs a little kickstart. And that's exactly what this is. It's a wonderful tool for you to use. And I highly recommend you, you know, go get you a deck of these cards. There's 50 cards. And what I'm doing this year is each week I'm going through a different card. So this week, the card is Genius. And on the front of the card is Find Your Genius, a guiding spirit that encompasses each and every one of us throughout our lives, which is, you know, a very nice thing to think about. So on the back of the card, it starts off with the early use of genius as a intimate spirit allows us to ascribe genius to a language, the genius of Italian, or to a people, the English genius for public civility, or to a cuisine, the genius of French cooking. And let me tell you, if you've been to Paris, you know what I'm talking about. As the meaning of genius changed over time, we stopped thinking of genius as a guiding spirit and instead started regarding a genius as a rare person. How differently we might view our work if we revived the ancient definition of genius. And I think that's a great segue into what is the definition of genius. What do we currently define genius as? And for that, we have to go on over to Merriam-Webster. Well, we don't have to, but I like going on over to Merriam-Webster and giving a definition for these words that is a little bit more, it gets us into some common ground. So let's go ahead and do that right now. So our good friends at Merriam-Webster define it as an attendant spirit of a person or a place, a person who influences another for good or bad, a strong leaning or inclination, a peculiar, distinctive, or identifying character or spirit, a single, strongly marked capacity or aptitude, extraordinary intellectual power, especially as manifested in creative activity. Now, I have I don't want to say a huge problem with the word genius, but I do know that we use it a lot when we're talking about people, but how do we measure genius? You know, everyone's like, oh, I have an IQ of 172 or, you know, 300 or what. How is that measured, really? How are we measuring, you know, who's a genius and who's not? You know, Mensa, we think about Mensa and the geniuses that are there, or, you know, the people that we call geniuses there because they did good on a test. And you know, whenever, I don't know about you, but whenever you're taking a test, how do you physically feel? How do you, you know, emotionally feel? What are you going through? Some days you're going to be able to test better than others. This is just a proven thing. You know, you don't, you know, if you take the same test on different days of the week, you know, are you better on Tuesday than you are on Friday because you're thinking about the weekend, or, you know, what's going on with that? So I have a real problem when people try to measure genius with IQ tests. I have a huge problem with the SOLs, which I think should stand for shit out of luck, but, you know, standards of learning. You know, my kids take those tests and they do really well in them. But is it that they can take tests really well, or and they're a genius because of that? Or is it just that day was a very lucky day for them? They were really tuned into, you know, sharing their knowledge. So for what we're doing with here today, we're applying genius to our art. And I don't want to say everyone out there is a genius, but I think we need to think about how we define it and how we measure it. You know, for me, I'm not a huge Wednesday person. I'm really not. But you give me a Monday or a Friday, and I'm rocking it out. I'm hitting my stride. I can do that. So, am I just a genius on, you know, Mondays and Fridays? I think I'm a, I don't even know that I'm a genius. I can find things very well. I'm great at research, and I have tenacity. So, does that make me a genius? I don't know. That's, other people are going to define it, and other people are either going to call me a genius or an idiot, and I don't really care what they call me. So let's get on to the challenges that are occurring in each and every card. First challenge is, a word like genius can seriously affect your awareness. Has the modern definition of genius ever kept you from trying something because you are afraid the work would be too connected to you? So, when I first started to do podcasting, I was doing it horribly. I wasn't really serious about it. I didn't take it seriously. But in 2016, I met up with a good friend of mine, Kyle Bondo, and he, you know, opened up a new world to me. And I went in and I explored that world. I had never really done I had never really created a website. And I had a lot of questions for him at the beginning. At first, he actually did it for me on my old podcast. And I was like, you know what? I can't have you do it for me. I need to learn how to do it myself. So, you know, I went ahead and started up my own WordPress site. And at first, it looked like, you know, horrible crap. And after I got better at it and did some research on it, which is one of my strong suits, and I wouldn't, you know, settle for less than what I thought was good, that's my tenacity going after it, I learned how to do it. So now I'm doing it all by myself. And, you know, rarely do I call him up and say, hey, you know, Kyle, I'm messing this up. I'm screwing this up. Now, is it accepted aesthetically pleasing in the industry? I don't know. But it's the way I set it up, and it's what I went out and learned on my own. And that's what we have today. Could it be set up better? Maybe. I don't know. But logically, it works for me. If it doesn't logically work for you, please let me know. But for me, it works out really well, and it makes sense. And will I change it next week? Probably on a Monday or a Friday. But for me, it works out for the way it is. The way I write poetry, I used to write 4-line stanzas and with four stanzas, because that's how I thought it was written. Now I do. I don't really rhyme, but I explore different forms and different things within poetry, and I give it a shot. Painting, you know, I paint like a 4-year-old on crack, but then I found paint by numbers, and then I made some really good paintings with that. My wife and kids love them, and then Well, actually, first I took a oil painting class locally here, and you know, I gave it to my wife. It was of us at the Kissing Wall in the Love Wall in Paris. And you know, does it look great? No, but it's an attempt. And my painting has gotten better since then. And I have a good friend, Heather. She is a Heather Moon. She's a wonderful oil painter and acrylic painter, and she paints on everything and anything that she can get her hands on. She's out there in Rockford, Illinois. And, you know, she at one time, you know, was showing with me. And then we've had Tia Sunshine on the show here. She's a wonderful watercolor painter. I haven't tried it yet. I haven't been brave or bold enough to try it yet. But, you know, she's very encouraging. And I look at her stuff and I'm like, wow, you know, it blows me away. And the stuff that I'm doing now, I am actually getting my wife and I for our anniversary. Did a thing, it's called a Van Gogh, and it's, you know, they show you a video, they give you all the supplies, and they show you how to paint a picture. Well, we did that, we were laughing and had a wonderful time, and, you know, it's the best gift that I could have given my wife. And now I'm getting ready to, I know my wife doesn't listen too much to this podcast, but I'm letting you all know, I'm getting ready to do another painting for her, and I know she's going to love it. It's of the Eiffel Tower, and you know, of our, you know, honeymoon in Paris. So I know she's going to dig that. I know she's really going to love that, and it's something from me. Yes, somebody's showing me how to do it, but I'm actually doing it myself. Now, does that make me a genius because I'm learning how to do it from somebody else? No, that doesn't make me a genius, but for me and how I look at genius, you know, I went out and I researched these things and I'm trying to better myself. Now, why am I trying to do that? Well, because I'm sitting here with you every week talking about these different aspects of art, these different words that we use in art, and, you know, helping you to define them, helping me to define them. This is, you know, this is for you as much as it is for me. You know, I'm trying to make sure that I'm defining these things correctly when I'm talking with people, because I want to inspire other people to do art. I, you know, the joy that you get out of it, I want you to have it. I have it. I'm good, but I need to learn more things. I always feel that way, but I want to make sure that you have it. I want to make sure that you're enjoying it as well. So our next challenge is rebuke any perfectionist tendencies and share a wild idea with a collaborator before it becomes a reality. So I just recently did that. this card is a wonderful card to have. So locally here in Fredericksburg, Virginia, I talked about Kyle Bondo. He had a meetup about podcasting, and I went to it in 2016. That's kind of where I hang my hat and go, that's where I really got serious about podcasting. And when the pandemic hit, we had to close down. Well, you know, halfway through it, he moves to Texas. So I'm sitting here going, I have no local group here. So recently I talked with a friend, Simon, that works at a place called the Idea Space in our local library. I was like, I'd like to start up a meetup, because one of the people that attended the meetup previously called me up and he says, hey, Tim, when are you going to, you know, start the meetups again? You know, the pandemic is not over, but it's safer to go out and about. And I talked with Simon. I was like, hey, I'd like to do this. He gave me, you know, he brought it up to his boss, and his boss contacted me and said, yeah, I'd love to do that. So now we're doing a monthly podcast meetup here in Fredericksburg, Virginia. It's like teaching a class. And, you know, I get to share my my love and my passion of podcasting with other people that have that same love and passion. And I get to teach what I know, and hopefully they're going to teach me things that they know and inspire me to do more and better podcasts. And I want to inspire them to do more and better podcasts. And I never thought I would be, you know, leading something like this, but it's something that's needed in the community. And is it artistic? Yeah, you bet it is, because when I'm making, you know, PowerPoint slides for it, when I'm thinking about the presentation that I'm going to give, there's art in that. So some people would be like, well, no, that's just, you know, presenting. There is an art to teaching. There really is. And that's one of the things I learned in college is, you know, with my pedagogy degree. And that's the art of teaching somebody how to teach. And that's essentially what I'm doing with you right now is I'm teaching you this so that way you can teach it to others. Now, are these presentations going to be earth-shattering? No, not at all. But another thing that I'm doing later on this year is I'll be speaking at Indie PodCon number 8 up in New Jersey. Now, this is the third time I've spoken there, but the first time, oh yeah, I was scared. It was an 8-minute talk, and I was talking to people about how to interview, which, you know, I know how to interview for a job, but for a podcast, it's a little bit different, but there's a lot of similarities. So I was bringing that knowledge into that space. And, you know, I got to meet wonderful people, and I never thought I would be doing that. Well, there I am doing it. And I'm at work, I'm teaching people how to podcast. And who would have thought, you know, for many years, I was like, man, I wasted $75,000 on this degree to, you know, learn how to teach people. And now I'm doing it. Now, it's not theater, it's not directing, but it's, you know, teaching people about podcasts, teaching people about art, teaching you, you know, about these different topics in art this year. Next year, who knows what I'm going to do, but this year, you know, these ideas that are can be so ethereal, I guess, you know, bring it down and saying, hey, this is what we're talking about. This is what we mean. You know, this is the dictionary definition. This is the street definition, I guess, is a good term for it. You know, this is what it means out in the street. This is what it means to your audience. So I'm helping people communicate with each other through art. Is it going to be perfect? No, but I'm going to give it my best shot. And if I don't do it, if I wait for it to be perfect, it'll never happen. So Chris Christimos, I always screw up his last name. Anyhow, he is a podcast event organizer. He does PodFest down in Orlando, Florida. He put out a book called Starting Ugly. You know, get it out there, refine it later, but get it out there. Because if you don't get it out there, you have nothing to refine. So, you know, I'm giving you books to check out. I'm giving you things to do here. Definitely go check out that book. But if we rebuke, you know, our perfectionist tendencies, oh, I got to wait till I learn all these skills. No, no, no. Just go out there and do it. As I give you permission. If you need somebody to give you permission, there you go. I just gave you permission. Now you have no excuse. Go do it. As a matter of fact, I challenge you to do it. Go make something totally ugly and gaudy and put it out there in the public and see what happens. Somebody may pick it up and go, wow, how did you do that? And you go, and you tell them, and you teach them how to do that, and you do more of that. You know, if that's what that audience member wants and they're paying for it, go for it. Why not? But if you don't do it, if I hadn't talked to Simon to, you know, start up another podcast meetup, if the other guy that used to attend the old meetup, if he hadn't called me up and said, hey, when are we going to start this up again? If he hadn't challenged me to do it, would I have done it? Probably not. You know, and it was in the back of my head, but I was like, eh. And I needed a little kick to get it done. And now it's done. And now it's happened. Now the first meetup we had, one person showed up. One person had car trouble, and the other person got the email sent to her spam folder, and she just found out. She just looked at her spam folder that very day that we were having it. We're going to have another one July 10th of 2023, and I'm, you know, getting my PowerPoint ready for that and getting my presentation ready for that. And if I had waited for it, it wouldn't have happened. Or somebody else would have done it, but not in the way that I would have either known about it, or maybe I wouldn't have attended, or maybe I wouldn't have liked it. So this way I can do it my way, and I can be open to the people around me, to the people that come to it, and change it to be more effective for them and for me. Because if they don't necessarily like the way I do it, if they give me suggestions or good criticism on it or constructive criticism on it, I can make it better. And that's how we start. So the last challenge is brainstorm now. Who comes to mind when you think of genius? Attempt to define what makes a genius a genius. I'm not going to attempt to define what makes a genius because I think it's a very individual thing. People are going to be amazed with what you do, and they're going to call you a genius, and they'll put you on a pedestal. And I've always told people, if you put me on a pedestal, I'm going to take a sledgehammer to that pedestal. Don't put me on a pedestal. I'm just a person like you are, just going through the world and, you know, trying to find my way. And you're trying to find your way. And I'm, you know, giving you some lifelines that I know that help me out. Maybe one of them helps you out. Who comes to mind when I think of genius? I think of John Coltrane. He was a genius with the saxophone, but he didn't really hit his stride till later on in life, you know, until he was in his 30s and 40s. And then he took it to a whole different level. He showed us something that we hadn't seen before. And at the time, it was controversial. Music was controversial. Oh my God. Well, we have it today. You know, music is controversial. But back in the day, you know, he was playing jazz in a different way, in a more spiritual way, in a more connected to him way. And a lot of people didn't like it. Look at Bob Dylan when he went electric. People hated that. He lost a lot of fan base because they wanted him to be a certain way, and it didn't feed his soul. So he tried a new way. He forged a new path. So I think a genius forges their own path. Now, you know, I think a genius is a great student, is someone that is, you know, constantly studying. I don't think we can test for genius. I think we can test, you know, what does this person know? But how dare we go, well, this person's a genius and this person isn't? Well, we all have different life experiences. Even my twin girls have different life experiences. They have different friends. They see the world in a different way. So are they both geniuses? Yeah, because they keep on trying. They keep on trying to learn. They like to have a lot of fun. They'd like to have a lot of sugar. They're kids. And I understand that, but they have that same tenacity that their father has. They have that same thirst for knowledge that I have. I'm going to say that, you know, yeah, they're geniuses. They keep on trying. You know, I show them new things all the time, and they try them, and they're brave with it. And, you know, if other people don't like it, who cares? You know, I'll try something else. You know, they'll listen to constructive criticism, but they have a hard time right now giving it. Like if they don't like something that we cook, they have a hard time saying why they don't like it. You know, is it the taste? Is it the texture? Is it the color? Is it the smell? Whatever. They're learning how to do that. They're not there yet. You know, I think a genius knows that they don't know everything, and they're always trying to learn more. And people that, you know, aren't trying to learn more, people that, you know, are considered geniuses, and they're like, okay, I'm good with that. I'm done. You know, I've got my Mensa card. Happy. Does that get you 10% off at Starbucks? No. You know, you got your Mensa card. Yeah, so what? Can you put your order in? Yay. Nobody cares. So, think about who's a genius and find out, you know, why are they a genius in your eyes? And if it's a positive thing, then try to emulate that. If it's a negative thing, you know, if they are, there is a fine line between, you know, having that thirst for knowledge and then being obsessed with knowledge and throwing your family underneath the bus, throwing your friendships underneath the bus, and just learning that so that way you know it and you can make a ton of money off of it and you're not going to share it with anybody. That's not a genius in my eyes. In your eyes, that might be a genius. I don't know. But in my eyes, it's somebody that's giving up this knowledge, somebody that can break the knowledge down. Brian Greene, he talks about string theory, and he's able to break that down into common parlance, into something that, you know, just about anybody can understand. I think that's genius right there. And, you know, he's very giving in that. So for me, that's what a genius is. You may have different mileage on that. So some points to consider on this. about genius. Think about inspiration. Who inspires, who do you think is a genius, and how do they inspire you? Innovation. What are they doing that's different, that's making the world better than, you know, it was when, you know, before they got there? Skill development. Are they constantly trying to get better at what they know? You know, they may have written the book on X, Y, and Z, but are they trying to find out more about it? Are they trying to, you know, maybe develop a different skill that complements what they've been studying? Emotional expression, you know, are they, and we're talking art here, are they putting their heart and soul into it, you know, and can you see that? Is it evident in the piece of work that they're doing? Or are they trying to show how we are all guarded and wearing masks, and we're trying to, you know, suppress and control our emotions? Yeah, in their piece of art. Is that evident in that? Can you look at it and get that out of it? Or do you have to read a whole book and then go, oh, that's what he's talking about, or that's what she's talking about. Okay, I get it. You know, do you have to have a master's degree to figure out what somebody's trying to do? Then the last point I want you to consider is this a reflection of society? Is this person putting this piece of art up there, and, you know, as a mirror to what society is, or what they see society is? And, you know, I think, you know, with my art, I try to reflect that, you know, what I see of society in my poetry, in my art. You know, what do I see that's going on out there? There's a poem I, you know, wrote recently about a six-year-old shooting their teacher in class. And it really affected me. And no matter, you know, with the gun debate and all that, that is outside of it. I'm just focusing on a kid shooting a teacher. How does this happen? How did we get there? How did we get to this point? Now, when I was in kindergarten, I punched my teacher in the face because she annoyed me, and I got kicked out. You know, I had to go to a different school because they thought I was a violent kid. Yeah, I know. I'm the Bob Ross of podcasting, you know, with this nice and, you know, soothing voice. And when I was in kindergarten, I punched my teacher in the face. I had some anger issues going on at that time. Do I have them now? No. I'm not allowed to have them now because I've got two geniuses that I live with that won't, you know, I would never even think about showing them any violence. I have a wonderful wife that would not be with me if I was violent. So I have reasons not to display vulgar acts of violence. But, you know, our art a lot of times is a reflection of the society that we live in. And that's why our audience can connect with it so well. So, you know, use that in your art. Reflect the society that you're in. You know, put a mirror up to it. There's your idea right there. Go work on a project for that. Well, that was today's card. I appreciate you taking a listen to this podcast, and I really appreciate the time that you put into it, and I hope you appreciate the time that I put into it. I do want to ask you a slight favor. If you got any benefit out of this, I'd ask you to go ahead and share it with a friend. You know, whatever app you're using, if you're on my website, you know, go ahead and give them the website. If you're, you know, using an app, you know, share it through your app. There's lots of different ways, lots of different apps out there. So I'm not going to go through them all. But yeah, go ahead and share it with a friend. I don't mind. Don't mind at all. The other thing I'd like to ask of you is that if you have something going on in your neck of the woods, or if you have, you know, a piece of art that you're working on that I can help you out with, or if you want to get your work out there to other people, I'd be happy to interview you on this show. You can email me, Timothy@createartpodcast.com. And I'd be happy to get back with you and talk about it and see what we can do about that. The last thing I'm going to ask of you, and I know I'm asking a ton, and I apologize for that, but could you go ahead and email me and let me know what would make this a 5-star podcast in your eyes? I'd like to know about that. You can, you know, a lot of the apps out there, you can comment right there on the app and leave your review or all that. And by all means, go ahead and do that. Even if it's not a 5-star, if it's a 4-star, if it's a 1-star, go ahead and do that. But what I would ask you to do, please, is to go ahead and email me. Same email address, Timothy@createartpodcast.com. And let me know what's going to make this a 5-star podcast for you. Now I'm going to release you to the rest of your day. I hope this was enjoyable for you. I know it was enjoyable for me. So go out there. Tame that inner critic. Create more than you consume. And go out there and make some art for somebody you love, yourself. I'll talk to you next time.